You're listening to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. I am your host, Erica Russo, psychic medium and intuitive development coach. This show is all about giving you the conversations, tools, and wisdom you need to live life the intuitive way. Whether you are waking up, wanting to develop your intuition and connection to spirit, or wanting to live a more magical life, I got you covered. I give you grounded, practical, and insightful content that helps you wake up, level up, and connect with your soul. I'm excited you are here. Let's wake up together.
One. All right, guys, welcome to February 2021's astrology forecast here on the Intuitive Souls Podcast with our favorite astrologist, Hannah Kuhari.
Hello, how is everyone doing? How are you, my friend?
I think, you know, I'm hanging in. I'm just living, you know, with all.
January was a trip. Erica and I were just chatting about this before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
Like January felt like a year. It was a long, challenging month. So I am actively embracing and welcoming February.
Yeah, me too. Being that it's my birthday month and the Aquarian energy all around. But yeah, I was like, just between the last week, I feel like I've went through already 6 months of 2021. It's just been insane.
January aged you a little
bit. Yes, a little bit, but it's okay because I put collagen in my coffee in the morning. So.
There you go.
There I go.
All is healed.
Perfect. Yeah. So let's just dive right in. Let's talk about what's going on in February.
Yeah. I think February is better than January in terms of energy wise. We do have, you know, some interesting energy coming in mid month, but I do feel like there is this sense of relief, and we've moved into Aquarius season. Aquarius energy is really the forefront of what we're seeing here for February because we have an Aquarius stellium. So anytime we refer to a stellium in astrology, it's when we have three or more planets that are grouped in a sign, and it has to be planets other than the sun, moon, or Mercury. So this month we will have the sun, moon, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn all in the sign of Aquarius, bringing to the forefront those inherent energies into the collective. So it's the Aquarian month for sure. And wow. I would love to just, well, it's your
it's
season.
Good. No, it's like good. Yeah. Like, wow. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. So when we think about Aquarius, I was contemplating, you know, how to chat about Aquarius season. And, you know, I could go down the normal path of like the visionary, the free thinker, the independent individual, and those things that are all true. But I wanted to really dive into this idea of a free spirit when we're talking about Aquarians, right? When we use that term free spirit, that implies that you're being liberated from something, right? You can't be a free spirit and not be pushing back against something that might be tying you down. So yes, Aquarians are these individual thinkers, these visionaries, often called rebels, right? But again, you can't be a rebel without having something to rebel against. So, you know, from a collective standpoint, what are we pushing away from? What are we trying to break away from? This is the Aquarian thought process here. Looking at the status quo, looking at the structures, the belief systems, the values of what has been, and saying, this doesn't work for me anymore, and I'm going to do it my own way. Or pushing back and saying, I know this is what you want me to do, but I know that this isn't right for me. It's really about alignment. And when we come into our own alignment, that's when we're really embracing our path of individualization, right? We're owning who we are as an individual. And, you know, this Aquarian individualization can only occur within the context of social expectations, these societal rules and constraints. And I really think it's obvious that this is playing out here in the US at the moment, as well as other places around the world. And, you know, we're also hearing this phrase a lot. We heard this in 2020 as well, and it's, you know, continuing into 2021, the phrase of paradigm shifting, right? You hear this all the time. We're shifting into a new paradigm. And it's kind of like, well, what does that even mean? And I just want to say that from my perspective, cultures and societies change because of Aquarians. And maybe some people are going to get upset at me for saying that. But here's the thing.
I'm not going to get upset.
I know you won't. You're like, oh, you are so right, my friend. Yeah. You Aquarius son. But no paradigm will ever shift on its own accord. That doesn't happen. We are, you know, the catalysts for these changes. And it takes courageous voices and free thinkers to do that. And those are the Aquarians. And I'm not just talking about Aquarian suns. If you have any planets in Aquarius, or if you have a very packed 11th house, that is the universe asking you to break the rules or go rogue in that area of your life. That's where you're being called to step up and to push against the status quo, to break away, to go rogue, to help shift these paradigms. And I just want to say that, like, as I say that, my mind is like, well, that's not too difficult, right? We'll just stand up and tell the man, like, no, I'm doing it differently.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. Difficult.
To be completely honest, like, yes, I think my parents can attest to this. I've always been the rebel. I always had to stand up for what's right. With my beliefs.
Right.
And it got me in trouble, man. Mm-hmm. I've been, you know, it's gotten me in trouble in school. It's gotten me in trouble at home, but and it's not easy. Like, that's just the thing. They think that, like, being the free spirit and, you know, being the humanitarian and, you know, speaking your mind and going against the grain comes naturally. And sometimes it doesn't, because we're also thinkers. We yes. also overthink everything. I will be the first one to say
totally.
That, you know? So it's it's like a internal battle for Aquarians.
Absolutely. Know? And like you were saying, you know, everyone wants to be liked. There is this human element of wanting to fit in. That's a natural instinct that we have, like in our animal instincts. But what if in order to be liked, we have to sacrifice something of ourselves? What if in order to fit in means letting go of something that is inherently beautiful and unique and different from everybody else? You know, so what if that sacrifice is letting go, however, of what people think of you? So when I think of Aquarius, I also think of this idea of sacrifice, of letting go of something. And it can go on both ends of the spectrum here. Letting go of something that is beautiful and inherent to you in order to be liked by other people, to avoid judgment, or the sacrifice is saying, I don't really care what you think. It's none of my business what your opinion is of me. And I'm going to continue to live my life in alignment of what's true to my soul.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this paradox of Aquarius between survival instinct of the individual and herd instinct of the collective. And both are very powerful forces in our lives. I mean, if you think back to like our caveman days, if we only had lived independent and solitary away from other people, we would have been eaten by wild animals. That's, mm-hmm. you know, we would have never survived. But instead, you know, we, as humans, we raised our babies and we hunted and gathered together in tribes, in groups. We protected one another. So there is this sense with Aquarius of protecting the pack, watching out for each other, you know, having each other's back during difficult times, stepping up and defending those that are weaker. So, you know, again, if you have any planets in Aquarius, that is an instinct that you might have to wrestle with. You know, what do I do for myself versus what do I do for my community? And that sense of radical independence is, you know, is the gift of the water bearer. I think it's a really fascinating concept to kind of think about in our own personal lives, how that is reflected in our own choices, but also how it plays out within, you know, our societies and our countries and our global communities as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I really agree with that. I love that you really spoke about like the whole rebel side of it, because I think that a lot of times Aquarians can be very misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also feel, for me anyway, I think that the things that we truly believe in, we really truly believe in them, and we're so hard-headed with it, and we just don't let anybody screw around with our beliefs and, you know, what we stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And it can look a little weird, you know?
Totally. Yep. Absolutely.
And I just love how you spoke about that, because it is. I think that Aquarians are definitely misunderstood, and not just like Sun Aquarians, but anybody who has it in one of their top three.
Yeah.
You can almost tell that there's some Aquarius in somebody because
yeah,
they think differently.
Yeah, they do. They do. And it's beautiful. I have a lot of Aquarians in my life. Both of my daughters are Aquarian moons. My dad is an Aquarian moon. My mom is an Aquarian sun. I have a lot of friends with Aquarian moons, and I'm just naturally drawn to these people because of the interesting perspectives that they have to offer. And I do feel that there is an affinity between Scorpio and Aquarius, because Scorpio, yeah, likes to go deep and like really get into, you know, the mystery and what's below the surface. And Aquarius, being an air sign, loves to, you know, tackle these ideas and to, again, come up with different ways of thinking. And Scorpio is like, yeah, let's run with that. So there is this like beautiful, connection between Aquarius and Scorpio, which I mean, you and I totally feel because we've got this friendship and bond here.
Exactly. But I also feel, just on another level, because Aquarians are very mental based. We're very, mm-hmm. we have to think things through. We're very analytical and everything like that. But you know, my husband's also Scorpio, and you're a Scorpio, and my son is a Scorpio.
Yeah.
And my oldest friend is a Scorpio. And what I realized with that is that I think that because Aquarius have problems expressing emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I think my husband, as well as you help me feel like it's okay to feel the emotions. Like he makes it normal. You know what I mean? Because for me, and I think for all air signs, we have trouble with emotions. It's just mm-hmm. a known thing. So when you have that water sign come in and be like, it's okay, you can feel, you know, you can feel shitty, you can do it this way, feel into that. Like, for the longest time, I like fought it with my husband because he's very emotional. He's very like emotion based. He goes with emotion, and I am just like a rigid bitch. So, but I think that's another good thing. I think that we yin and yang each other very well. You know?
Yeah. Well, Scorpio and Aquarius are also both fixed signs. So they have that same inherent quality of stubbornness. They really want to, you know, get into whatever they're doing and figure it out. And they want to stay true to whatever their feelings are for Scorpio. You know, that truth that comes from an emotive place. For Aquarius, it comes from their ideas. For Leo, it comes from their creative expression. You know, for Taurus, it comes from their sense of security and being in the moment. So there is that fixed quality between those signs. They all understand each other.
Yeah.
And how they approach things. So yeah, and it is interesting. You've got so many Scorpios in your life.
I do.
Yeah.
I really do. Scorpios, my mom's a Virgo, my brother's a Virgo, my sister's a Virgo, and my dad's a Leo.
Mm.
And I don't know, they're three. And I was trying to get my mom to like give me her birthday, and she doesn't even, her birth time,
mm-hmm.
she doesn't know it. And I'm like, come on.
Like, well, you could still look up her moon just based on her birth date.
Okay. Because I'm very curious. Like, I'm really curious. Because the more I learn about people's placements, it makes so much more sense of like how they just live their life.
Totally.
Something like that. It makes sense, you know?
It is very fascinating. I mean, coming from the astrologer who does this for a living, I love having one-on-one sessions with my clients because not only is it so interesting for me to put the pieces together, but when I am working with a client, you know, when we're on a call together and I just see that look on their face where it's like, you know, mind blown, light bulb on, like, oh my gosh, this totally makes sense now, where I've been, you know, trying to find out the reason behind why I do this, why I struggle with this, why does this mean so much to me? And it's written in the stars. I mean,
yeah.
Of course there are people that won't believe in astrology, and that's okay. My job's not to change their mind, but mm-hmm. you know, I've never had a reading where someone's like, yeah, this doesn't reflect me at all.
Yeah, no.
I was like, are you looking into my soul right now? And I'm like, yes, I am.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
I think it's also a great tool just to understand people. You know, we can know people, but I think the biggest thing with being a light worker, being a healer, is learning to understand them, why they are the way they are, why they hold these beliefs. And I think that astrology, as well as human design, gives us those tools to be like, this is why you are the way you, this is why you live your life this way. Mm-hmm. I mean, between figuring out my natal chart and my human design chart, it answered all the questions of why I am the way I am.
Yeah.
So we highly recommend both.
Highly recommend. Here we go on our tangent.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's dig back into February. We'll chat first about what's happening today. As we are recording this, it's January 30th. We're in Mercury retrograde. It is what it is. This is going on between now and February 21st. So, you know, it slipped into its retrograde motion in the sign of Aquarius, where it's going to stay until mid-February. And, you know, everyone's got this like bad attitude about Mercury retrograde. And I get it. It makes technology a real pain in the ass. It makes, you know, trying to do anything on the computer, on the internet, with your machinery, with your cars, like it makes it slow and frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to remember that Mercury retrograde is not like we're jinxing ourselves here. I really want to chat about like what exactly retrograde is. And it's the planet moving back into the degrees that it has already been through. So it's literally going back in time. And when we think about this concept of quote unquote going back into time, this is giving us a chance to rewrite, review, revisit history in some sense. And that is why the reflection piece and patience is so crucial for navigating Mercury retrograde. We're given the opportunity to look back at topics and ideas and interests that have already come to the forefront of our minds, or have already been disseminated out into the world. And retrograde is like, why don't you take a second look at this? Why don't you reconsider that information with a different pair of eyes? You know, do we need to think or reflect upon it in a different way? Does it still mean something else the second time we review it? You know, when you see something through the lens of the past, sometimes the relevance changes. Sometimes the importance of what happened, the meaning changes. You know, maybe you had something in your life that was really upsetting, right? Maybe your boyfriend or your girlfriend broke up with you and it was heartbreaking and you just are completely, you know, destroyed by it. And then you take some time to just step back and reflect about everything that happened up until that breakup. And you remember, actually, this person was really controlling. And actually, this person was, you know, really condescending and was not supportive of things that were important to me in my life. And yes, I loved them. But now when I'm looking back at history, I'm able to rewrite that piece of myself and say, okay, the breakup was difficult, but I'm learning something about it. I'm learning that I need to be with someone that is honest and fully supportive and, you know, offers me affirmations of love or whatever it is. And I'm not going to let that breakup define who I am. I'm not going to allow the ending of that relationship to label me as broken. I'm seeing that as a strength that is giving me a new perspective so that when I move forward in my life and find a new partner, I have the clarity of what I'm seeking to find in another person. So that's the kind of review and like looking back that is really the gift of Mercury retrograde.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, even if we look back, and I say this often, because when you start walking the spiritual path, or, you know, after you have your awakening and all of that, hindsight is 20/20. And when you look back, and Mercury retrograde is the perfect time to look back, you know, even before your awakening, you realize that there are things that, you know, those puzzle pieces are finally coming together and you understand why maybe some relationships didn't work out and why some events, as catastrophic as they were, occurred in your life. Mm-hmm. And I think that you know, Mercury retrograde, as well as the age of Aquarian, this is a great time to really just reflect and take a look back. You know what I mean? Like to go down memory lane and just see and understand like everything that happened in 2020, all of the relationships, everything. I think it all comes with a silver lining. I really truly believe that. And there's a lesson in everything.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the Mercury in Aquarius piece is all about exposing our intellectual appetites to new ideas, being open to seeing things in a fresh perspective, you know, and maybe in an unconventional nature. And what we are leaning into when Mercury takes on these Aquarian energies is that we are seeking what part we can play in the future, focusing our attention on, you know, these new concepts, new ideas, new plans. It's looking forward or being eager to look forward. And, you know, even taking these risks to be called crazy for even considering these ideas, you know? Mm. So Mercury in Aquarius is asking us to connect with our rebellious voice, our revolutionary genius, and to treat everybody with an open mind. And I think that the world is calling for that so loudly. Mm-hmm. That no matter how unusual these people sound, we need to still consider them. We need to still make room for them. And we also need to be mindful of taking on an air of superiority, because this is the shadow side of Aquarius, of sometimes being the know-it-all, right? Sometimes thinking that they're smarter than everybody else because they see things from such a unique lens. You know, maybe that's within our relationships, our partnerships, or within our communities. And, you know, instead of feeling like I know better than you, stretch yourself to be even more open, even more considerate than before. And when we can do that, the world can feel a little bit more accepting, a little bit more welcoming, not so divided, which is what we're struggling with right now, especially in the United States. It's not condoning violence. It's not condoning, you know, inflicting pain upon other people. But the fact that, like, if we're talking about politics, the spectrum of belief is so wide. Why can't other people have different beliefs? Okay, they don't align with ours. We might think that they're a little bit crazy, but they still deserve to have their voice be heard too. And how can we get over ourselves so that we can be open to at least listening and considering what they have to say before we make up our minds that they're wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Not being so ingrained in our own truth that we can't be open to maybe having our minds be changed as well. So that's just some of the topics to consider during this retrograde period, as well as, you know, don't do anything drastic, like, you know, getting a complete new hair situation, you know, don't go get like, I don't know, you know, major purchases and contracts. Just be mindful, go over all of the details. One of my dear friends is buying a house right now and she's going through the underwriting process. And I'm like, just look over everything twice. Expect that it's going to take longer than possible. So just offer that patience to yourself, to everyone else that's in your, you know, in your world right now. Some of that stuff is out of our control and we just got to roll with it. So
yeah,
hang in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the new moon in Aquarius. This is happening February 11th. This is a beautiful time to set our big intentions for change. Okay. So as we're talking about Aquarius, these themes of, you know, being open to something new, being ready for change, being ready to embrace a radical view, right? These are the kinds of intentions that we can set on the new moon on February 11th. We have six planets in Aquarius to support our intentions during this new moon that I mentioned. And consider how you can be a better activist within your communities and your personal lives. You know, are there people that really need your support right now? Are there voices that need to be lifted and amplified? And how can you do a good job of supporting them? You know, we're all desiring this need for freedom in some aspect of our lives. And the new moon energy can help us break free from any of those constraints that hold us back. But we have to take the responsibility to make those changes. We can't just say, okay, universe, like you do everything. The universe is like, that's hilarious. Like you need to take some responsibility for your life here. So it's time to implement new visions for ourselves. How are you going to plant these seeds? when you do this, when you're thinking about this, whether you're journaling or bringing it into meditation or just considering it on a walk or your drive, think about how you can embrace your untamed nature. How can you get in touch with that wild inner child inside of you? You know, the one that just is chasing after your dreams, completely unabandoned, no matter how grand or unattainable other people may think they are. It's those dreams that you're like, yeah, they sound crazy, but I want it. I want it so bad. You know, and there is healing to be had when we embrace our true inner nature, when we embrace that untamed nature, when we accept that we are unlike anyone else and we feel ready to continue along that path of being the individual. You know, life is asking us to experiment with those new possibilities and to think for ourselves, no matter what anyone else thinks of us, right? Mm-hmm. You've said this before, and I think it's a great phrase, and I've heard it other places too, that other people's opinions of you is none of your business. Don't allow that to get in the way of you living the life of your dreams. We all deserve that, you know? And what is the price that we pay for simply belonging? When we make a choice that feels safe, when we make a choice that we think other people will respect, but inside we devalue, what's the cost there? What is that price that we're paying? And likewise, what is the price that we pay for freedom? Maybe it's losing friends that we've had for years and years, but truthfully, they just don't support us. You know, maybe it's leaving a job that is unfulfilling and not challenging us and makes us feel crappy all the time. You know, independence takes hard work. And I think that's really what it comes down to for Aquarius, is that if you want to be free, you have to be willing to work for it. You have to be willing to pay for it in some respect. And those are the things that you should also consider when we're making your intentions for the new year. Where are you going to step up and be brave? Where are you going to step up and be courageous in order to grab this life that you desire?
Love that.
Yeah.
Love it. So this February's new moon is really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Excited.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one. All right. Let's move into the piece of February that is challenging. This is February 16th and into the 17th. This is Saturn squaring Uranus. Now, if you guys have listened to my 2021 astrology forecast over on my podcast, which is called the Light Body Podcast, I do talk about this as well. This is an aspect between Saturn and Uranus that we are going to see happening 3 times this year. Now, transiting Saturn squares transiting Uranus every 14 years. So, you know, it doesn't happen all of the time. And we will see 3 direct squares between these two planets on February 16th, June 14th, and December 24th. And these critical points are like the beginning, middle, and end of a story that is playing out in the undercurrent of this year. What's really interesting is that Saturn is the traditional ruler of Aquarius, and Uranus is the modern ruler of Aquarius. So Saturn, you know, our restrictive planet, the disciplinarian, the planet of challenges and our traditions, is antagonizing Uranus, the modern ruler of Aquarius, which is the rebellious innovator, you know, the wild inner child. So within these squares, which that's a form of tension between these planets, we're seeing these themes of conformity, consensual reality, social conditioning, you know, the fear of being judged or disassociated with for having different views, right? So the square aspect in astrology is very challenging and difficult, but it creates this dynamic tension that encourages us to make dynamic changes, right? We talked about at the beginning of this podcast about how Aquarians are the ones that change the world. Aquarius energy is what shifts these paradigms. It doesn't happen on its own. And these dynamic changes are necessary. I think it's pretty obvious, especially right now. So the key with this aspect is to just stay tolerant and to be patient with one another, to be open-minded, and to accept that it's going to take a long-term view to put into motion the plans that we're creating now that are going to overall support the collective. But as individuals, it's up to us to find these new unseen opportunities and to focus on thinking about the future instead of only fixating on the past. So, you know, just recall that, like I said, Saturn is the traditional ruler of Aquarius and Uranus is the modern ruler. So our Aquarian age means assuming responsibility to take care of one another, you know, to question authority, to work through these perils of socialization and social conformity, you know, to accept being disapproved of, to accept being judged, to know that we're not going to get it right all the time, you know. And yes, Saturn's status quo is far more comfortable to just placate in than what Uranus offers, which is unseen beyond the horizon. We don't know what's there beyond the horizon. But just remember that the element of air is what allows consciousness to interface with our experience. And without experience, we have no evolution. Mm-hmm. So, you know, experience, whether past or present, is like what lights the fire for us to forge ahead into the unknown. You think about, you had something terrible happen to you in the past. You know that you could maybe could have made a different situation. That experience is going to give you that fire to move ahead to make a different choice next time, right? It's conscious living. It's conscious living instead of just moving mechanically through it. It's being an active player in creating our life and creating our world instead of letting other people do it for us. But that is brave work. You know, it takes courageousness to come to our own conclusions. So how do we do that is what Saturn and Uranus are fighting over in these squares. You know, we have to make our stand. We have to embrace our inner genius. We have to embrace the experiences that feed our souls and that nourish our global communities. We have to become comfortable in navigating our lives in accordance to the truths that have been revealed to us through our own experiences, right? Through those heartbreaks, through those breakthroughs, through those joys, even if the price is high, even if it means people are going to call us crazy or weird or strange, you know, or unwanted, we have to live with the integrity. At the end of the day, are we going to feel good about our choices, or are we going to just fall in line because that's what other people expect us to do and give up our true identity, right? Or as I like to call it, our mistaken identity. It's big work. It's really big work. And I
love that. Oh, you just like, you had to have just channeled all that information because that just like hit my soul. I was like, wow, experience. And this is the, and I think that that just like, here's the thing, you know, we both work with people who are wanting to develop their psychic and their mediumship. They want to become, mm-hmm. you know, professional mediums and they want to be professional healers and everything. And, you know, we become so impatient and because we want it so bad, we want to shine our light. We want to do this work. We want to be of service. And you know, looking back, I'm really working on my own mediumship and I'm looking back and I'm reflecting and where I want to go with it and how I want to work with it. And, you know, essentially like how do I want to incorporate it into my life's work? And something that my guide told me is that, you know, mediumship is not about turning on a switch. It's about cultivating the experiences for you to understand your connection to spirit. It's about the experiences. It's not about going from, you know, starting off developing to being a medium, because I can tell you right now, and I think that Hannah can agree, it's like since us opening up to spirit and working with spirit, it's the experiences that we've had along the way that have made us the mediums and the light workers that we are today. Mm-hmm. It wasn't overnight.
Right. You
know? It was not overnight. You know, we were just talking about your crazy experience last night in meditation. And it's like, it's all of those experiences combined. That's what the spiritual path is. It's not just waking up and then thinking that everything is different and your eyes are clear and you see things from a different perspective. It's about all the experiences you have after you wake up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the evolution coming from those experiences of
exactly
looking back and saying, you know, in the past, this is maybe how I would have approached a situation. And then, you know, maybe you have something play out like in your a friend or your marriage and you realize, oh, I did it differently this time. I'm growing. I'm changing. I'm seeing myself in a different way. I'm owning and taking responsibility for my behavior, for my relationships, you know, for how I experience life. So you're right. Yeah. There's no evolution without experience. It's pivotal. Right. And when we're thinking about what's happening here in the United States, like some of those experiences are awful and they're heartbreaking and they're difficult to watch play out. But if we want to evolve, we have to learn from that. We have to take what we can, those nuggets of truth, you know, that information that we can then build from, we can move ahead from. It's not easy work, but it's necessary.
Absolutely.
So mid-February, February 18th, the sun will move into Pisces, which we'll chat about more about Pisces in next month's episode. But I just want to let you know that we'll have a shift in season here. And then February 25th, Venus moves into Pisces. So we will chat a little bit about how, you know, Venus takes on these Piscean qualities. So when she's in Pisces, Venus settles for nothing less than the connections that have legitimate soul purpose, that have these legitimate soul connections. She reminds us that the quality of happiness in our intimate lives is directly linked to the depth and commitment to our own spiritual practice, which when you stop and think about is like, well, shit, that makes total sense. Because listen, you cannot expect to have this incredible soul bond with someone and to have this beautiful intimacy with someone if you are not willing to do work on yourself, whether that's through meditation, through some form of healing, through therapy, through, you know, the counsel of a religious or spiritual mentor or guide. If you're not willing to go deep into yourself, you do not have depth to offer someone else. So when we know ourselves, when we truly love and appreciate ourselves at a soul level, when we can dissolve into knowing that oneness that we have, we can extend that love more genuinely towards other people. We can feel what real love is and how we can offer that to other people instead of just these surface level, you know, things that we say like, oh, I love you, but do you really love this person? You know, it's, you know, if we can sit with ourselves in stillness, because that's what Pisces craves, is solitude and stillness, to listen and attend to what needs to be healed or regenerated within ourselves. Again, the gift of Pisces is healing and regeneration. If we can work on healing our own wounds, our own, you know, fears, the things that we're self-conscious about, the things that we don't feel good about, we can also offer more genuine sense of connection and bond with other people because we're not hiding behind our wounds. You know, if you want to be intimate with someone at a soul level, you have to be willing to get past your own shit. I mean, that's probably the best marriage advice I can give you. And, yeah. You know, and even with friends too, like you have to be willing to get over your own shit. You have to be willing to heal it. And you also have to be willing to look at someone else and say, they're hurting. And this is why this is going on with them. You know, it's recognition. And the deeper that we can do that within our spiritual journey, the deeper we can go with others. You know, Pisces is the mystical fish that knows no depth to the ocean. If you think about the ocean as spirit, as the universe, you know. And, you know, likewise, the deeper the type of people that we want to be attracted to us depends on the depth in which we're willing to go in our own life. So if you want the kind of friends that are just surface level and just want to talk about, you know, The Bachelor, which there's nothing wrong with that, but really don't give a shit about the things that you're struggling with in your life, go deeper in your own work. Go deeper in your spiritual journey. Connect with your soul. Think about what it is that you love about yourself. What are you willing to heal and regenerate? What do you want to understand about your purpose? Because the more that you are willing to explore those depths, that level of consciousness, the more you will attract those same types of individuals that are also at that level, also at that vibration. You know, and just remember that spiritual journeys are so individual to each of us. And that means you know, what it looks like for you and me, Erica, could be completely different to someone else listening to that, listening mm-hmm. to this. It may not be meditation. It may not be a traditional spiritual practice. It might be exploring oneself through art or through music or through spending time in nature. Anything that can get you out of your habitual identity and connect in with your essence can be a spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. So yeah, some reflection about the types of people that we want to call into our life. If you're feeling like you don't have the type of friends that you want, maybe this is your call to really work on yourself, really go deep first. And then you can be at the place where you can call in these, you know, soul connections, these incredible lasting friendships, or with the depth within your relationship, you know, your marriage. It's all dependent on the willingness for us to do the work.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think we all at some degree want those relationships where it's at a soul level and they just get you and you're on the same vibration and you talk about healing and ideas. But if you're not doing the work, mm-hmm. the universe knows. You know, you have to do the work. You got to do the work. And yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. Really do.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up the month of February with a full moon in Virgo. So this is happening February 27th. Now there is that underlying tension between Saturn and Uranus that I mentioned is coming to a head mid-month, and that's still going to be felt during this full moon. But the medicine for that tension between, you know, that push and pull between Saturn and Uranus is compassion and service. And that is found through the sign of Virgo. The evolutionary goal for the moon in Virgo is to find a way to be meaningful in our service towards others. You know, and likewise, Virgo also asks us to work on ourselves. You know, Virgo is the sign of our physical health, our physical bodies. So acknowledging that these humble realities of our earthly challenges, you know, whether it's like, I don't know, whatever you might be struggling with in your human life, that yes, there is a humbling aspect about that. Like, yes, it is challenging. It is difficult, but never losing faith in the journey or crumbling under the painful weight of self-criticism, because that's the shadow side of Virgo. When we are so hard on ourselves because we are striving to be perfect, that is when we start to lose faith in ourselves, because we feel like we'll never attain it. Because you know what? Newsflash. You won't. But if you have the desire and drive to be better, knowing that perfection will never be attainable, but you can be better, that's what's important, right? So this full moon comes with the strength in our own ability to make a difference in our own lives, but also the lives of others. Because Virgo is the sign of service, you know, being that humble servant to someone else. Virgo wants to be helpful. They're the sign that, like, they just kind of know what you need before you need it, or you know that you need it, you know, and remembering that we all have something to offer one another. You know, I hear so many times, like, you know, with my clients feeling like they struggle with knowing, like, what they should be doing for other people. And there's the genuine want to be helpful, but they're like, I don't have any talents, or, you know, I can't offer healing to people. I don't know how to do that. And it's like, sometimes offering service or healing to someone is just being a good friend, being a good listener, you know, yeah. Be reassuring, seeing people for who they really are, you know, offering to help, offering how you can be supportive to them. You know, we all have something inherently unique, beautiful, and important to share with the world. And, you know, maybe this full moon is time for you to reflect upon that, of going inwards and really thinking about, what do you have to offer? How can you be of service? You know, what is really meaningful that you feel like is important to share with other people? And with that, you know, when we're talking about work, because Virgo is attached to our the work that we do in the world, spend some time considering what work in your life truly matters, both in the realms of career, but also within your personal life. And do you need to be making any adjustments there? You know, is the work that you're doing in your job purposeful? Does it feel meaningful to you? Do you feel excited about showing up to do what you do? Or does there need to be some changes? You know, likewise, whose company do you find joy in? Virgo is the one that sits humbly in front of masters and takes from others what needs to be learned, because Virgo wants to be good at whatever they're doing. You know, so identify, who are these mentors and guides in your life? Maybe they're in an unexpected role, but you learn something from them that's really important. And are you humble enough to recognize their gifts and what you can learn from them? Sometimes in the spiritual community, I feel like there are these pockets of people that think that they just know everything because they've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
And it's like, what about these beautiful individuals who are new to what they're doing, that have an incredible fresh look and perspective on the work that they're offering, or their voice that they're amplifying in our communities? Like, we should be learning from them too. Just because they haven't been doing it for very long doesn't mean that what they have to say isn't important and isn't profound. Like, we have to humble ourselves to be able to find guidance in all places. And, you know, judgment is a tricky thing for Virgo, because they can easily self-criticize and also kind of get into this judgy place of others. But the secret of this moon is to reflect upon self-judgment, not against the standard of perfection, but instead the personal standard of the intensity of our own evolutionary or spiritual effort. You know, the standard of which we are willing to abide by in order to be a better person or to learn something from someone else, not trying to be perfect in the eyes of anyone else, or being perfect for what we think that is, but being open to change. And that is the standard that we should hold ourselves to.
I love that. And I think that, and here's the thing, when it comes to Virgo and Aquarius, what I've learned in my own journey with a lot of Virgos in my life and being an Aquarius, I think that Virgos and Aquariuses are very much alike, but they also are very opposite.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, just looking at the relationships that I have with Virgos, and it's very like, you know, well, who's right? Mm-hmm. You know, and it clashes. It just clashes. And, you know, for me, the whole mentor thing and looking at other spiritual teachers, spiritual mentors, I've definitely tried to open my mind more about mm-hmm. it. And what I do, you know, instead of being like, I need a teacher, I think what a lot of us need is just, I need a different perspective. Don't look at it as a teacher, because the best teachers are the ones that do not claim to be a teacher, do not claim to know everything. They're the ones that just take their lives and what they've learned and share it with the world. Mm-hmm. You know, some of my favorite teachers are the ones, they don't even know I exist. I mean, Dyer, Teal Swan, those, you know, Wayne Dyer is probably just like the person that has helped me the most. But, you know, instead of trying to find another spiritual teacher, or find a different mentor, go into it just being like, I want to hear this person's perspective, right? I want to know what they have to say about this particular thing. And, you know, I started following Teal Swan, and I've seen her, I mean, she's been in the spiritual community a long, long time. There's documentaries about her and her journey, and she's a remarkable healer. And I started following her work just curious, because I've heard other people talk about her. And it's not about her teaching me so much, because we have the same beliefs in a lot of things. It's just hearing her perspective on it and opening mm-hmm. my mind up to think a little differently, you know. And I always seem to walk away with an aha, like, ah, that makes sense. I like the way she thinks. And I think that, you know, it's so important to look at other people, even if you are a spiritual mentor, because you don't know everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm reflecting upon, so Erica had a reading with me this week, guys, and I won't go into all of her details, But a very similar message came through about a chapter in her life about being open and being humble to people in your life that can be teachers and mentors in a unique way. And to identify these people as like, they're here to offer me some guidance in a way that maybe is unexpected. And I need to humble myself to what they can share with me. And, you know, the idea, like you're saying, of a teacher can be, or a healer, you know, or a mentor, doesn't have to be a static term. I mean, on this podcast, you and I, Erica, joke all the time about our husbands being some of our greatest healers, but there's an example of someone that doesn't even realize maybe that they're a teacher or a mentor for you, but they offer some information that gets you to look at yourself, to reflect, or to learn something that inherently gives you a greater understanding of yourself, a greater understanding of the work that you need to do in your life, or a fresh perspective that maybe you've been craving and you didn't even realize it. And I just think about like our circles within the Modern Mystic Society of people that have been there forever. And then we've got all of these beautiful new souls that have popped into the Modern Mystic Society as well. And we're all sharing together. And those can also be teaching moments where it's like you're learning from people that haven't been doing this long, but they still have something that's important to offer, you know, a way of looking at something that maybe you didn't have before. You know, maybe it's a friend. You know, I feel like Erica, you and I have this very symbiotic kind of teacher student relationship. You know, I learn so much from you, and I feel like vice versa. Like I also teach you so much, and that brings us to such a greater understanding. And that can happen through friendships. You know, it's identifying and recognizing like this person has something that I can learn from, and I'm eager and excited to embrace that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I can't even, funny thing that you said, you brought up the husband thing, because if you guys follow me on social media, you know, I'm going through some drama right now. And, I told Tony about what happened on TikTok with, you know, just the hate and everything that I was getting. And I showed him the video and he looked at me and he just looked at me and he said, "Since when do you care what people think?" And I looked at him and I was like, oh shit. Yeah. You're right. I'm just really in my head right now.
Yeah.
He's like, "You never cared." Like what he, that's all he said. And it made me realize like, why do I care?
Yeah.
I don't really care. I just need to meditate.
I need to reflect on this trigger here. Right. Thank you. Thank you, husband.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes it's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just don't stroke the husband's ego that much.
Right, right. Especially a Scorpio one.
Yeah, exactly. He'll never know. He'll never know that I said that because I can't do it because he'll just he'll like it too much.
Oh man. Yes, it's the unexpected drops of wisdom that are like they change everything.
Yeah,
they change everything.
Tilt your head, and you're like, you're right. Mm-hmm. Why do I care?
Yep. Yep. You're right.
Very true.
So that wraps up February. It's not too bad, right? We've got some really beautiful energy, I think, to work with and to stretch ourselves into and to expand into. I was saying to Erica before we started, you know, recording this, she was like, "No, but tell me, is this like going to be a bad month before we even start recording?" And I was like, "No, I think some people will really beautifully acclimate to all of this Aquarian energy, especially if you have Aquarius anywhere in your chart, but not necessarily. And then for others, it might feel really uncomfortable because it's so far out of your comfort zone. And so that might be harder for you. And if you feel that resistance, just take some time to consider why. You know, what is confining you that's making you want to dig your heels into instead of wanting to open up to the possibility. So enjoy the month. We'll get through Mercury retrograde. March, we've got Pisces season coming into the flow. And I won't ruin any surprises for March, but enjoy February.
Okay. I will. Let's just leave it at that.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful February, and we will see you next month.